Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast on a Tuesday morning. John Ledyard and Trevor Sikkema with you guys to talk our 2018 preseason NFL Draft positional rankings, beginning with quarterbacks. We slaved and stayed up all night trying to prepare for you this list of just top five quarterbacks. Took a lot of preparation, a lot of time, and a lot of energy, but here we are. Are you doing a drum roll over there, Trevor? Is there a drum roll? Do I hear? No?
No.
Oh,
no.
Okay. Your expertise only overflows into, like, kicking field goals and stuff. By the way, I saw your kick on Twitter. That was pretty impressive. Not going to lie.
Hey, I'm tag the Bucks in it, man. Give me the tryout.
Honestly, I think there's a chance you might get
some. I'll sign for the league minimum. I'll sign for $20. I don't care.
Yeah, just to say you did, right? A message from SeatGeek for you guys before we start. Buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated, but there is a better, simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to live events. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. I think like two or three of you have contacted me lately, either on Twitter or via DM or somewhere else, to say that you used the promo code, you were excited about it, you loved your purchase. So one of you said you loved your experience, so that's been really cool to see. I've had the same experiences with SeatGeek. I'm glad that you guys have shared those experiences as well. So if you're out there listening and you're wondering, look on my Twitter feed or my mentions, and you can see a couple people that have mentioned lately using the SeatGeek promo code and how easy it was, how easy the process was. They save you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. Best of all, our listeners get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LONFL today. That's promo code LONFL for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Cannot beat it. Great stuff from SeatGeek. Here we go, Trev. You ready?
Or where are we starting? Five or one?
We're starting at five, baby. We're doing the countdown to the top, as it should be.
Okay.
You want to kick us off? Your fifth-ranked quarterback for the preseason 2018 NFL draft rankings is...
My fifth-ranked quarterback is Florida State quarterback DeAndre Francois. I like Francois a lot. I thought about putting him even higher, but with lower completion percentage and things that, you know, it's first-year starter for him. So I thought he showed a lot of the traits that you just can't teach. You know, like when you're about to take a hit, you deliver a ball perfectly down the field. That's something Francois can do. And he didn't do it just once or twice. He did it a handful of times because Florida State's offensive line was bad last year. Mm-hmm. And so it was often Francois that was having to bail him out with some really nice passes under pressure. And when you can do well under pressure, that's almost half the battle as a quarterback for me, because it's a mentality thing. And if you can't do things under pressure, if you can't do things on the fly, this and that all goes into a package of where I see your value. And so I think I don't think Francois has the strongest arm. I think he can push the ball down the field a decent amount, but we're going to get to some guys above who are higher on my list who have better arm talent. But in terms of some of the intangibles, I'd love Francois. I love him as a leader, love him under pressure and crunch time. I think he's a clutch player, and that's so huge for the guy that holds the ball and gets the ball first whenever the game is on the line. And so you want to have that in a leader on and off the field with Francois. And I think he's great. So that's why he is my fifth quarterback there.
I do like Francois. He is a good player. 20 touchdowns, 7 picks last year. There's some things that can improve there, but he's only a redshirt sophomore, so there's no guarantee and maybe likely that he doesn't come out. We'll see. I mean, I don't know. They win national championship like they have the talent to do. It's going to be tempting for him. He's not in my top five, though. He's just outside. I do like him. But keep this in mind as I go through this quarterback list. I'm not really crazy about anybody yet. Like, there's nobody that I would say, like, oh, top 15 for sure in a vacuum. Not that they won't go that high. I'm sure they will. It's a quarterback position. It's always going to go high. But there's nobody right now that I look at and I'm like, oh, man, lock him in. He's going to be top 15 on my board. Like, he's going to be top 20 on my board. He's so talented. Like, he can't miss QB. I don't see any of these guys like that right now. But my fifth-ranked quarterback is a guy that I have right now a mid to late day two type of grade on right now. And I have a couple guys in that range, but I liked him a little bit more than the others. And he is Luke Falk. I really like the Washington State quarterback, and he'll get that air raid label kind of, but just because he is throwing first read a lot of the time, but I think he has flashed the ability to move through progressions. I do think that will need to be something that he has to learn and develop a little bit at the NFL level, but a lot of these concepts are going in NFL offenses now, so I worry about it a little bit less. And he's very accurate, very good ball placement in the short to intermediate passing game. Mechanically sound, his release is really quick, Jimmy Garoppolo like quick. He navigates the pocket well. You can see him throw with touch on vertical passes. Sometimes he struggles to find the range, but he's tough. He'll hang in and take a shot to make a play. Won't take a lot of unnecessary risks with the ball. There are times where he gets confused by a coverage concept, but I think he's a very hard worker, very tough guy. He walked on at Washington State because he only got two offers out of high school. I think he went to a different high school his junior year, which is like the big recruiting year, and he like barely played, so he didn't have junior tape. So no one like recruited him. And then he was like a two-star guy. And he was first team all state as a senior. He set the state record, passing records for completions and pass attempts, but there just weren't roster spots available at that point. So he received two offers from Cornell and Idaho, walked on at Washington State, earned a scholarship pretty quickly. He was first team all Pac-12 in 2015, second team last year. I think he's a really good player. I don't think he has an incredible arm. I don't think that he's a great off-platform thrower. And I don't think that he is a guy that's going to make a ton of plays outside of structure, but I think that he needs a little time to adapt to full field progressions and some stuff like that. But I don't know. I really like him. I think if he can clean up the deep ball a little bit, not guys with his mechanics, his release speed, and the ability to be so accurate, especially in the short to intermediate game, very touch and velocity. I'm a sucker for those types of players. So I really like Luke Falk. I was pleasantly surprised by his tape. I had no idea what to expect going into it. I don't think I'd ever watched him live, but he is my fifth-ranked quarterback.
Yeah, I just to touch on that a little bit, like I don't hate Falk's tape, certainly, but I think that there are too many guys who have NFL arms who we're going to talk about above him to make him for him to have been my fifth guy. Again, yeah. I picked Francois because he's a guy I think could play out of structure a little bit better. So we just have a little bit different of a preference there.
Well,
so,
I appreciate that. But yeah, you were just wrong. That's no big deal.
I mean, you know, all right, we're moving on to four.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, four. And this is actually going to get some hate both ways. Some people are going to hate that he's not higher, and some people are going to hate that he's this high.
Yeah, that's the story of our lives.
Huh?
That's the story of our lives as draft analysts, yeah, right?
Very true. My fourth guy is Lamar Jackson. And Lamar is, obviously everybody knows, incredibly dynamic athlete. He was the Heisman winner last year. Put on incredible performances against Clemson and Florida State and some of those big-time schools who have done some big things and had a lot of success. And Lamar was right there, even better than a lot of the best players on the field at that time. And so he gets a narrative for just being a running quarterback. And granted, he is very dynamic with his legs, but we need to stop acting like that is only a negative when going into the NFL, because it's not. And I know that the reason why he is fourth is because I know that it would take a special offense in the NFL for him to really work. And there aren't many that are willing to do that. But if you are with Lamar Jackson, I think he could be good, because I'm also here to say that Lamar Jackson's arm is great. Like, he has so much strength in that arm, which is I almost don't believe it because his frame is so skinny. But, man, he can just, with a flick of his wrist, get the ball 30 yards downfield, almost on a rope. And that's just a Lamar Jackson thing. And I think he's got plenty of velocity and zip on his passes. I think he was – I know his completion percentage was lower than you would want it to be, but I actually looked up his completion percentage, and it was close to a lot of these guys we're talking about at the top. So he certainly – you want him to get more consistent a little bit. You want him to complete more passes here and there, be more consistent with what he does. But in terms of the arm strength, being able to zip passes in, he does read the field, although his offense doesn't require him to do it nearly as much, so we don't see it a lot. But for him, it's just a consistency thing, and that's why he's fourth for me both on the high and low end, because if he can prove that he is an even more consistent pocket passer or can even identify where better mismatches are going to be in the pre-snap, even with a read option offense, which is kind of tough. I know he's just trying to win college football games, so it's a little tough there, but the only thing I have to worry about is durability. So, yeah. And I don't know. I never know what to do with durability issues, because Jackson's not, he didn't get hurt.
Right.
You look at his body and you go, man,
that's scary.
You might get hurt someday. Right.
He's so skinny,
but he hasn't been hurt yet.
Right.
So I don't know what to do with that.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, and you could look at thresholds for guys who've typically succeeded at the quarterback position, and he was listed at 200 pounds on NFL Draft Scout, and I think like 6'1 and a quarter or something like that, which would be smaller than the thresholds for both, but he's reportedly bulked up to 212, which is a lot better, and I think he looked bigger to me when I saw a picture of him the other day from like their practice the other day. I thought he definitely looked bigger, so that bodes well. You know, I think that, you know, he could alleviate some of those concerns. They're just, 200 pounds at 6'1 or 6'2 is, you know, he'd be skinny dude playing quarterback. So, you know, I think that those concerns are warranted, but if he shows that it's not an issue, and like you said, hasn't been hurt on tape consistently, then I think that, you know, that those get alleviated. So my biggest concern with Jackson is that he's not consistently anything. Right? He's not consistent right now, I don't think. Like, consistently accurate or, you know, consistently takes care of the football, but velocity and a quick release, oh man, he definitely has that. I'm really excited to see what kind of growth he has, because like you, I think he has a plus arm. If he can cut down on some of the mistakes and improve the accuracy and the consistency, really, of his overall delivery, I think, to all levels of the field. He just missed out on the top five for me, but I was more impressed with his tape than I thought I would be when I really took a long look at him. I think he offers some good things, just way too inconsistent right now, I think. But my fifth ranked guy, you said I didn't like outside of structure. Well, how about Baker Mayfield as, or my fourth ranked guy, I should say.
Oh, wow.
Okay. How about Baker Mayfield as my fourth ranked guy? These, if people are still with us and they haven't just turned off the podcast because our rankings are fairly unorthodox. Baker Mayfield is not, you would not expect an off-platform thrower that plays outside of structure a good bit to also be extremely accurate, but he is. Like, he is, you know, both with the PFF guys talking about his adjusted completion percentage, you know, so much over the past couple years being best in the nation, but like, even when you watch the tape, ball placement to all levels of the field, really good stuff there. Man, he has a nice quick release and he can really drive the football. Those are big things that I look for. Accuracy is like my top thing for a quarterback. Do I think some of his decision making needs to get better? Yes. But at the same time, this is a guy that hasn't thrown a lot of picks. And yes, he's gotten lucky a couple times, but I don't think he's thrown a ton of picks. And I think that he has flashed the ability to go through full field progressions, even if it isn't always the offense. My biggest issue is that sometimes, and Mark Schofield over at Inside the Pylon did an awesome piece on how he seeks chaos sometimes and puts himself in pressure situations, and sometimes it works out for him and sometimes it doesn't, and how translatable is that to the next level? He'll abandon the open, logical first read to make a tougher, more ill-advised throw. You know, so he is some of that gunslinger mentality to him, but he has avoided turnovers pretty well. I think his deep ball can improve. He flashes it at times. It looks really good, and then other times it wanes a little bit, but I know that he's smaller than most quarterbacks too, so size will be a knock. I think not weight wise so much, but height wise, if he's around 6 foot. But to me, if you look for traits that overseed that, kind of that supersede the height issues, then I think that he has those in both his quick release, his ability to move in the pocket. He navigates the pocket really well and play outside of structure really well, also. So there's some things that need work, but right now I really like Baker Mayfield in that like mid day two range.
I just think that unfortunately, I'm showing some of my hand here, that Baker Mayfield has a lot of Chad Kelly-like throws where,
oh my goodness,
they may end well, but in different situations, like, you know that they wouldn't end well in the NFL. Yeah.
Well, I thought that too going in, and I don't know. I watched like five or six games, and I was kind of surprised.
Like, we get another year of him. Yeah. So maybe. I mean, I love Baker Mayfield. He's really fun to watch, and I do think that he has a better arm than people admit. But I just see a little too much Chad Kelly with him.
I would have thought that'd have been a positive for you.
Well, I mean,
best quarterback on the Broncos roster.
Maybe it is. Maybe he'll be my. Maybe he'll be my Chad Kelly of the next draft, where I'm just basically saying, start him irrationally.
Who you got QB3?
QB3, Mason Rudolph. Rudolph is huge dude, huge arm. And now we start getting into this arm talent kind of a thing where the quarterbacks below these guys just straight up don't have the arm talent that I think the guys in my top three do. And Mason Rudolph knows how to stretch the ball down the field, knows how to push it. He's got James Washington in his corner, which has been great. We've seen a lot of highlight plays from him. But even beyond that, I know the Big 12, it's tough to judge some of the defenses, but the timing on his throws, like how he can get the ball 50, 60 yards down the field to James Washington in stride, doesn't matter. You know, whether the defense shows that, whether the defense was bad or not, you being able to pinpoint it there with your guy in stride and that kind of chemistry, that's big for me. So being able to push the ball as far as he does, I think he has a decent awareness in the pocket. He knows how to make some of the smaller throws, the quicker throws, not just those big time ones. I think that he just needs to get a little bit more consistent with those intermediate and short things, because hitting the home run is great, but that just doesn't happen very often in the NFL unless you have an offense that's completely built around it, which maybe he will. But I just need to see better accuracy from him. He needs to 100%. Take that in stride kind of throwing and just show me more of it this year. And if he does, I think that he is a guy that's going to go top 15 because of how big his arm is. He's a 6'5 dude too. You know, like, he is the prototypical quarterback size completely. And then he has the arm to match. But, you know, the old saying is, the bigger the arm, the more accurate you have to be, or the more trouble you can get into. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing with Mason Rudolph. But at this point, I was pretty high on him last year. I said that he probably would have been drafted pretty high if he decided to come out. He doesn't. We get another year of him. We'll see.
Yeah. I don't know whether you'll quit the podcast if I read my weaknesses from my scouting report on Mason Rudolph. I don't want to risk losing you, so maybe I start, and if you need me to stop reading because it's troubling to you.
Sure.
Okay.
It'll just be wrong, but go on.
arm is decent, but not elite as has been billed. Deep ball is messy, struggles mightily with timing, placement, and distance. Often underthrew 9 routes and forced his receivers into tough contested catch situations. Worked primarily from clean pockets, yet still struggled with downfield accuracy and timing. Doesn't throw with much anticipation on vertical patterns, although I will say he did on out routes and outbreaking routes. He tended to throw very well with anticipation. Will either wait for a window or wing it into coverage in a YOLO ball. Accuracy and location issues plague him at almost all levels of the field, forces receivers into tough adjustments and leaping grabs, even in the short to intermediate game. Ball often sails on him, which may indicate a release point issue, maybe coming out a little bit early. Seems to struggle with properly varying touch and zip on the football. Will often float passes he should drive and occasionally zipped passes he should have taken something off, usually in the short game. Lower body mechanics were mostly solid, but at times didn't follow through with his lower half on throws, allowing the ball to dip and lose velocity. DeShone Kizer had that issue. Does not throw well from unnatural angles and needs a solid base beneath him. Interception numbers were good, but still makes some questionable decisions and fails to see lurking defenders in zone coverage at times. In 4 games, I watched through at least 4 interceptable balls that weren't taken advantage of by defenders.
I think he actually, and maybe the reason why I'm hiring him is because I thought he took a much bigger leap preparation-wise, maybe film-wise, this year, the one that we saw previously.
I'm thinking
that he is going to be better. Because like what you said there, you know, like when you're looking deep and when you have that kind of an arm, playing with your eyes is a big deal. Knowing what defenses are going to do and sometimes missing coverages here and there is something you need to get better at. But
yeah, I think he did get better from a tape perspective. Like, he threw with anticipation really well, so he would recognize which routes were going to be open sometimes pre-snap.
Sure. Yeah,
and I think so. I do think you're right there. I think he does have decent upside, but right now
I'll just send you a bunch of like emails that are just like subtweets of him throwing guys like perfectly timed.
Yeah, just say suck it in the email topic.
No, yeah. I'll write something cryptic that'll take like 10 emails to do it, and it'll be a message at the end of it. So, But go on.
You who suck is your, at evals.
Who is your wrong third guy?
My wrong QB3 was that kid that everybody talked about last year that would have been a first-round pick, would have been a top-10 pick, would have been the number one overall pick if he came out. Josh Allen, I don't know if you've heard of him. I honestly, if you had told me when we started this process, because I'd seen a little bit of Josh Allen, if you'd have told me when I started this, you'd have Josh Allen as your number three quarterback, I would have said, no freaking way, get out of here. Because I really wasn't that high on him when I watched him. And now I still don't think I am compared to most people. Like, do I think this dude's a top 10 player? No way. But he is incredibly enticing for a number of reasons. I think his setups in the pocket are really good. His release is really quick and clean. And his arm is legit insanely good. To have two guys, Patrick Mahomes and him, back-to-back years is incredibly fun. Allen throws with some serious mustard on the ball. I don't think he's a finished product at all. I think he does not work really well inside of structure all the time. There are flashes where he does, and you know it's something he can do. But consistently, I thought it was a little bit all over the place. So I like Josh Allen a lot. Accuracy's got to get better. Decision-making's got to get a lot better. But I thought when he's in the zone, like there are zones of where he's in where he is just really consistently impressive. But it's just he's too like spotty here on and there and back and forth, like on off, I guess, from game to game and even drive to drive for me to really like trust him right now. So I love the talent. I think it leads at least another year and we'll see what he does with it. But he's extremely boom or bust right now.
All right.
Well, you like Josh Allen. We're going to get to that, huh? Aren't we?
We're going to figure that out. Well, now, right. now you ruined it.
Well, I didn't say anything. I said, I know you like him. You said before on the show you like him.
My second guy is Sam Darnold.
What about you? Oh, you did your third guy. Sorry, my bad.
Yeah, the sample size is so small in Sam, but he's showed a lot of really fun stuff. He's got a pretty quick release sometimes. Sometimes it's elongated, but that's the thing. I mean, he was a redshirt freshman last year, correct? Mm-hmm. So he just has a lot to learn. We just need a lot more experience from Sam Darnold. We need to see him in a full season where he's the guy. It's his offense. In whatever mechanics they're going to help him fix and things like that. But I mean, he's got a powerful flick of the wrist with the football on certain throws. He's also, you know, he knows his arm back and get the ball downfield. Has obviously some crazy plays where he knows how to make things happen out of structure and in unorthodox ways, maybe a little too much here and there. And that's a part of getting some more experience with him, seeing better plays from him. But he's my QB too, because when you talk about potential wise, he showed flashes in just a redshirt freshman year of almost everything that you would want to see from a franchise quarterback. He just has to show us that he can do it better, certainly, but also that it's not a fluke, you know, that it is a consistent thing, that this is who he is, and this is the success that he can have. So he is my QB2.
My QB2 is Josh Rosen. I'm not 100% sold on this at all. I thought last year there were some clear issues, and I don't know how much I trust Josh Rosen's arm. But he is pretty accurate to all levels of the field. His mechanics are extremely clean. He sets up really well in the pocket. I think that he is thrown off platform very inconsistently right now. So I'm curious to see how another year in this offense, which has him mostly attack the short to intermediate areas of the field, I'm curious to see how he continues to grow in that way. His internal clock in the pocket is a little bit too slow for me. I think he's a little bit like who was it, Baker Mayfield, that he comes off the quick logical read to kind of make a tougher throw sometimes. And in downfield, I thought he threw into coverage too much. So by no means am I completely sold on Josh Rosen. I do think he has a much better year. I think he has a big bounce back year, puts himself back in the conversation with Sam Darnold. I don't know where I'll rank him overall on my board in a vacuum, you know, without considering the added value of the quarterback position, just ranking him cleanly. Right now, I wouldn't have him in the first round, but I do think he has the talent to get there. What I'm curious in is now, after they've done all this stuff to his shoulder and he had surgery and all that, how is his arm? Because I don't think it was great before, but I wonder if this either helped it or hurt it, or, you know, I just have no clue from that perspective. So I'm very curious to see how he does. I think there's a lot of unknown with Josh Rosen, because I think that he could be a lot better in this offense, but he also, you know, there could be some struggles and he may not have the arm that is where I need it to be for me to be first round high on him as a prospect either.
Number one, right?
There you go. Go for it.
My number one is Josh Allen. And what wow. you were saying before, having him QB3, the ups and the downs of Adam, they are all there. But I think it's pretty clear that Josh Allen has the best arm in the class. So this is just a play. And he is – when I watched him, he almost reminded me like a little bit of what Patrick Mahomes did. And people are going to freak out when I say that. But when I say that, I mean like – he would know where the ball is going so easily that the ball would get snapped. His feet would just sit there and then he'd fire the ball.
Right.
Like, because he already knew what was going to happen, whether it was an out route or a curl route or what, like he knew where the ball was going and he was going to throw it there, and he'd throw it pretty accurately with a bunch of zip on it. And I saw Patrick Mahomes do that so much last year. So they're obviously different styles when you get from there, but, I just think that Allen's arm is so superior in this class that it's hard for me in a preseason ranking to not think if this kid's gonna get better, if he's gonna be more consistent, all of that, I can't bet against him because I think his arm's phenomenal. So
I agree. That's good reasoning. I really think he's so talented. He could be the best quarterback in the class. I don't think he is right now. Could is a word that we throw on a lot. You're right. Preseason rankings, take your risk, shoot your shot. And if he doesn't develop this year, he doesn't develop this year. No one's tying you to these takes. I mean, people will, like if he sucks this year or something, and people will remind you, just here and there about how much we suck on this podcast. But, Sam Darnold is my number one guy. If you remember back to June, when we talked quarterbacks, I had issues with Sam Darnold. I still do. When I watched him, did I watch him and say QB1, 100%. Like, this guy, no one's touching him. I didn't. But when it turned out, when I watched everybody else, I didn't like anybody more. So I know I'm got to be at a downer on this quarterback class. But and not that I think
I
it's
I think
bad.
I like it more than you do.
I think it's like a good class. Like, I think it's like
a
solid class.
I mean, I like Mason Rudolph, like, so obviously I like it more than you do.
Yeah, I don't really like Mason Rudolph that much. But Darnold, what I love about Darnold, plays with incredible anticipation on throws, and he is just remarkable against zone coverage. For a guy in his first year as a starter, I was wowed by that. To throw with anticipation and confidence the way he does, I thought middle of the field he just dominated. I thought his motion, when you have to reset your feet and your angle to the sidelines, makes things slower for him, and I worry about that. I worry about him throwing outside the hashes with having to reset, and then with the motion as well. Down the middle of the field, it's a lot easier for him. All you have to do, you straight drop and then you throw, or stand up and you throw. But when you have to reset your feet, and that's an extra beat then, and then plus add on that elongated motion, I saw DBs jumping him a lot on the outside. I'm not fired up about that. I do think the motion needs to be enhanced somewhat. I am not a guy who thinks every quarterback has to throw the same way. But if it inhibits you on tape on any way, and I think it does enough for Darnold that I'm concerned about it. Now we need to see more tape for sure. But 370 attempts last year, I think that he could stand to improve in that way. But man, the ball comes out with zip despite his weird motion. It's crazy. He can throw accurately to all levels of the field, I think, although I think he can get better deep, in 20-plus yard passes and things of that nature. But his processing ability and just general feel for the game, he threw off platform way better than I thought he would. He's pretty accurate, like I said, all levels of the field. Those are big things for me. Thought decision-making, he continued to get better and better as the year went on. So he does a lot of things at a level where I would consider him a legit first-round guy that I would consider in that range. But the motion does worry me, and I'm interested to see what he's cleaned up this year. Given his ability to process quickly, it's less of a concern, but overall I still think it could be kind of a concern. So there you have it. Those are our top fives, our QBs heading into the season. You can love them, you can hate them, you can let us know how you hear about them on Twitter, or by leaving us a review or a rating and telling us how much we suck and how we didn't have Jake Browning number one, so you're never listening to the podcast again. Go ahead and feel free to do that. We're on iTunes and Audio Boom. Come at us with all your hate.
But then how are they going to hate our rankings, the other rankings this week?
Oh, they can hate them still. It's fine. Oh, without listening, you mean? That's true. Listen for the rest of the positional rankings, and then you can never listen again once you hate them enough.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. Well, Either way, keep it locked right here. Locked On NFL Draft. Napa
Know How. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How. Napa Know How. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.